Turn, please, to the book of Matthew. While you're turning tonight, I want to thank the Lord for His saving grace in my life. This atmosphere doesn't scare me one bit. I know I'm a stranger to many of you, but I'm not a stranger to this environment. I used to get nervous when people carry on and shout and praise the Lord. Now I get nervous when they don't do it. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. It's good to be here. I appreciate the memory of Brother Hinkle Little. My pastor was Brother Arthur Blackburn. I don't know if you folks know him, but my hero too. His first wife died, and he married my aunt, Frances Blackburn, who has just recently died in the last couple years. And I got to know Brother Hinkle Little through Brother Arthur Blackburn. And they were buddies. They were friends. And he helped in Brother Blackburn's funeral. And he sang, "I want to die on the battlefield." That's my heritage, beloved. That's my heritage. These men of God in camp meeting. We need to keep it going. Amen. Now, Hinkle Little used to scare me to death. I never will forget the first time I walked up on Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting ground. He said, "Son, where are you from, boy?" Like to scared me to death. We walked out on the prayer grounds one night. He said, "Son, give account of your stewardship." I didn't know if he'd want me to talk about my tithing record or whatever it was. He said, "Give account of your stewardship." Most unusual fellow, but a man of God. And I appreciate the honor and privilege of being here. Have your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. I appreciate the good preaching of the Word of God. I'm glad He's here tonight. Amen. I get help when I come to the house of God with the people of God. Matthew chapter number 8 tonight. Matthew chapter number 8. The Bible says, let's stand together as we read the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 8. Again, reading with verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 8. The Bible said, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, if Thou will, Thou can make me clean." And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." I want you to notice verse number 3 is my text tonight. The Bible says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. I want to preach tonight on He touched me. He touch me. You can be seated while we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we want to give you the praise. We want to give you the honor and the glory for exalting your darling son tonight. Lord, we could leave right now saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for every song. I thank you for every prayer. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for every man of God, every child of God. Thank you, Lord, for this dear pastor. I pray, God, your blessings upon him. I pray your encouragement upon his heart, God, this week. I pray, dear God, that you'll ever put your hand, God, upon this camp meeting. Our Father, tonight we pray as we leave this place, we'll not say what great singing, not what a great sermon, but God, what a great Savior. I pray that you might receive maximum praise and glory and honor to thy good name. Father, we need the touch of God. We need the power. We need the presence of God. Lord, we realize tonight all's in vain apart from the power of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for thy sake. And all of God's people said, amen. Tonight, beloved, I want to preach on He touched me. Matthew reveals Jesus Christ as King. Mark reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as servant. Luke reveals Christ as man. John reveals Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But Matthew reveals Jesus Christ as King. He's not going to be king. He's already king. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. There's some folks say that in the past he was prophet, and today he's priest, and one day he's going to be king. But may I say to you tonight, friend, he's already king. He is a king priest. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so Matthew writes this gospel to these Jewish readers to convince them that Jesus Christ is none other than king. And Jesus had just given the Sermon on the Mount. We see in verses 1 through 3, we see the person of the king. And then we see in chapter chapters 3 through 6, we see the purpose of the king. But when we come to chapter number 8, we see the power of the king. Jesus had just given the Sermon on the Mount, and he comes down and the Bible said there was great multitudes following him. And Jesus now is about to demonstrate that he's king. He shows he's king by banishing the consequences of sin. He shows he's king by having power over the forces of nature. We see in Matthew chapter number 8, Jesus has power over despair. We see that he has power over distance. We see that he has power over disease. We see that he has power over disturbance tonight, friend. I'm glad he's the master of the winds and the waves, and he's king over the storm. I know there's a hurricane brewing tonight, but he's king over the storm. There might be a storm in your life tonight, friend, but he's king of the storm. And then we see he's king over demons in Matthew chapter number 8. But I want you to notice the Bible says there came a leper running to Jesus. The Bible said he fell down and worshiped him, and Jesus touched him, and there was a great miracle that took place. I like what G. Campbell Morgan said. He said every miracle is an enacted parable. Every miracle is a parable of teaching for the people of God. He wasn't saying those miracles were not real. They were real. But God has something to say to your heart and my heart in the miracles it's found in the Word of God. You'll find in all three synoptic gospels, you'll find where Jesus touched this leper and made him whole. May I say three things tonight before I sit down about the cleansing of the leper and how that he touched me. I want you to notice, first of all, we see the misery of the leper. And then we want you to see there's the mercy of the Lord. And then there's the mandate of the law. May I say, first of all, there's the misery of the leper. The Bible tells us that this man, he was a leper. Luke's account tells us that Jesus said, or Luke tells us that this leper, he was full of leprosy. That means he was consumed with leprosy. That means he was eat up with leprosy. They say that a leper's life after he contacts leprosy is sometimes but 9 years. 9 years is all that a man had to live whenever he became a leper. And he was probably in his sixth or seventh or maybe his eighth year when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. His situation was hopeless. His situation was helpless. There was no hope for this leper. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say something about the condition of this leper? They tell us that leprosy came out of Egypt. Whenever the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they brought leprosy with them. And that's where leprosy came from. Oh, listen, it was a dreaded disease, my friend. It was the most loathsome and dreaded disease that anybody could have. It was a doom that was worse than death. It was a living death. And there was no hope. There was no pity for the leper. And in the Word of God, you'll not find a greater illustration of the ugliness and the foulness and the fearness of sin like you do in leprosy. I know we live in a day and an hour, beloved, when they try to make sin look beautiful and they try to make it look pretty, friend. Oh, listen, whenever they advertise alcohol, they make it look beautiful. Whenever they advertise tobacco or anything, they always try to make it look beautiful, friend. But I want to tell you, sin's ugly in the sight of a holy God. And there's nothing in all the Word of God that illustrates sin like leprosy does. May I say that leprosy was an incurable disease. There's nothing that could cure the leper. The scribes couldn't help him. The Pharisees couldn't help him. A Sermon on the Mount couldn't help him. There's nothing that could help this leper. It was an incurable disease. And may I say tonight, friend, there's nothing that can cure sin. Religion won't do it. Baptism won't do it. Water won't do it. The wafer won't do it. Works won't do it. Wonders won't do it, friend. It takes a miracle to take care of the problem of sin. You can go through 7 steps. You can go through 12 steps. There's no cure for sin, my friend, apart from the miracle of the grace and the mercy of our God. I tried to turn over a new leaf. I tried to get to do betters. And there's nothing that would help me, friend, with my problem of spiritual leprosy. It was incurable. May I say, not only was it incurable, but also it was unclean. The leper was declared unclean. He was put out outside of the camp. They cursed him. They mocked him. They threw stones at him. The Pharisees didn't care about him. The scribes didn't care about him. Religion didn't care about him. He was not fit for social life. He was not fit for worship in the temple. Did you know sin has made us all unclean in the sight of a holy God? The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we're all as an unclean thing. David said in Psalm 51, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David said, I become just like a spiritual leper. You read Psalm 51 and you'll see that David's eyes become defiled. You see his ears become defiled. His hands, his feet had become defiled by sin. Whatever sin touches, it defiles it, friend. You take a young lady brought up in a Christian home. Her mother and dad led her in the right way. She gets involved in the wrong crowd, commits immorality, and her life becomes defiled. You take a young man that was brought up in a Christian home. He gets in the wrong crowd. He begins to drink alcohol and do drugs. His life becomes defiled. That's what sin does, friend. It defiles. But not only was leprosy unclean, but leprosy was underneath. It might have manifested itself on the outside. It might have started with a white spot and then developed nodules and spread all over the body. And then they would collapse in a pool of slime. But may I say, it started on the inside. It was a problem that's deeper than the skin. May I say, sin is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. It's a problem of the heart. Man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'm telling you, man, on the inside is corrupt. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, murders. All these things come from within and defile a man. No such thing as the innate goodness of man. No such thing that man has a spark of goodness on the inside. They say you take a man and you just put him in the right environment, you fan the flame, and that's all it takes to bring out the good things in him. But friend, that person's never read the Word of God. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all as an unclean thing. Back in the early years, back in the 18th century of England, whenever a man was caught in a crime, they'd cut his hand off. If he was caught stealing, they'd cut his hand off. There was a man that got caught for pickpocketing, and they cut his hand off. He got caught again, they cut his other hand off. Both of his hands were cut off, and you know how he became a pickpocket? With his teeth. And friend, if they'd have moved all of his teeth and pulled all of his teeth out, he'd still be a sinner on the inside. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Man is a sinner not because only what he does, but because of what he is. A leper was a leper not because of what he did. A leper was a leper because of what he was. And friend, we all have the plague of leprosy. Leprosy was uncontrollable. No way you could keep it from spreading. Started with just white sores, and then nodules begin to develop and spread all over the body, and then they would ulcerate. Every time that leper would walk, he'd leave pus and ooze that would come from his feet from those ulcers. His eyebrows would fall out. His fingers and toes would begin to rot and fall off. His face would begin to develop lion-like features in his face, and it would attack his nervous system. He'd put his hand in the fire and couldn't feel the fire. He'd cut himself with a knife and couldn't feel the pain of the knife because the leprosy had attacked his nervous system, friend. Oh, it would spread. And that's just the way sin has. Sin has spread in our country, friend. Sin has spread in many of churches. Sin has spread in your life. All it takes is just beginning with a flirtation. All it takes is just taking one little old social drink. All it takes is just taking marijuana. Next thing you know, it's spread all over your life. And that's what sin does. Oh, listen, that's the leper. That was the condition that this leper was in. He was without hope. There was no mercy. But I want you to notice his confidence. The Bible says that he came to Jesus when the scribes couldn't help him, when the Pharisees couldn't help him. There's one that would. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the great physician. And he said, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. He didn't say, Lord, if you can. He didn't say, Lord, if you can. He knew the Lord could, but he said, Lord, if you will, thou can make me clean. He had confidence in the ability of our Lord. He knew the Lord. Lord could touch him. He knew the Lord could heal him. Somehow hope was born in this leper's heart. It could have been that from a distance he heard the Sermon on the Mount. It could have been that he heard what Jesus had done for some other lepers. But you hear me tonight, somehow he came up out of his leper's pit and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he had confidence in the Lord. Listen, there's some of you tonight, it could be that you're in your leper's condition and the devil said there's no hope for you. Oh yes, you believe he can and you know he can, but maybe somehow the devil's told you you're unworthy. I'm glad tonight it's not in my worthiness, but it's in his worthiness that we're saved by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, this leper, the misery of the leper, but I want you to notice the mercy of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Here we see the Lord's heart was extended to this leper. Mark tells us that he was moved with compassion. That word compassion means to suffer with. That word compassion means to be moved inwardly towards somebody. That word compassion means to get in somebody else's skin. And Jesus was moved with compassion toward this leper. I mean, the Pharisees didn't care about him. The scribes didn't care about him. People threw rocks at him, cursed and profaned his name. His wife couldn't help him anymore. His children and family couldn't help him anymore. But there's one that had compassion on him, and that's the Lord Jesus. I'm glad he's got a heart of compassion. I'm glad his heart is stirred towards sinners. I'm glad God is full of mercy and full of compassion. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God's mercy is not only ever flowing, but God's mercy is overflowing. There's abundant mercy and grace for the Lord, and he's got compassion on spiritual lepers. Then we say, my friend, not only was his heart extended, but we see there was transforming mercy. We see that his hand was extended. Jesus touched this leper. Jesus reached and touched him. Can you imagine the psychological effect that had on that man? That man had nobody to touch him for 7 years, perhaps. His wife and family wasn't able to touch him. His children weren't able to hug him. Pharisees weren't going to touch him. Sadducees weren't going to touch him. But Jesus reached forth and touched him. Did Jesus violate the law when he did that? Did Jesus violate the law when he touched that leper? No, sir, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but Jesus came to fulfill. And when Jesus touched that leper, that leper's contamination was not transferred to Jesus, but our Lord's cleansing was transformed to that leper. Jesus touched him. Immediately, the Bible said Jesus spoke, said, be thou clean. I mean, the one that spoke the worlds into existence, the one that said, let there be light, said, be thou clean. And immediately the ravage of that leprosy that affected his organs, that affected his body, had to go at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was the Word of God commanded, and the leprosy had to go immediately. That's what the Lord does when he touches somebody. Immediately they're cleansed. Immediately they're saved. You don't have to grow into it. You don't have to progress into it. You don't have to work into it. But immediately Jesus saves a soul when he touches them. By his grace and by his mercy, immediately the leper was healed and cleansed. Amen. Thank God for the transforming mercy. But I want you to notice, with me, the mandate of the law. Now listen here. Notice what Jesus told him to do. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus told that leper to do what the mandate of the law had told him to do. Can you imagine how surprised that priest was when a leper came to his door? There'd been nobody to come to a priest for cleansing since the days of Moses. In the Old Testament, there was Miriam who was struck with leprosy as a judgment of God. The word leprosy means stroke. It means judgment. And the Jewish man said it was a judgment of God. She spoke lightly of the man of God. She criticized Moses. I tell you, you better be careful what you say about the man of God. You better be careful what you say about God's man. Amen. And then we know Gehazi was struck with leprosy because he tried to buy the gift of God. And the leprosy that was on Naaman came on Gehazi. And then there was Uzziah. Uzziah, that illustrious king, next to David, next to Solomon. Nobody done in Israel what Uzziah did as far as leading that nation up. But he entered into the temple. He intruded the priest his office. God made a separation from church and state. I want to say he still has. Amen. The state ought to leave its hands off the church. Amen. Stay out of the church. Amen. I believe that. God smote Uzziah with leprosy, and he remained a leper until the day that he died. And I want to tell you, my friend, right now, listen to me, listen to me. There had not been anybody to the priest for cleansing. And I can imagine the priest went home that night and said, honey, you ain't going to believe it. There came a leper to me and said that he'd been cleansed by Jesus of Nazareth. And sure enough, he has been. There's been nobody cleansed since the day of Moses. Oh, what a remarkable condition this was, that nobody had been to the priest. Nobody had been to the priest since the day of Moses, but this leper had been. I want to tell you, friend, the greatest of all miracles is not the healing of a body. The greatest of all miracles is not creation, but the greatest of all miracles is God cleansing spiritual lepers, friend. That's the greatest miracle had ever been, when God reached down in grace and mercy and cleansed an old spiritual leper like you and like me. Amen. Now listen to me. Leviticus 14. There was a ritual cleansing. There was a ritual that priest had to go through. May I say that priest had to go outside the camp to where that leper was. No way that leper could come in. But that priest had to go to that leper. My friend, my Bible tells me the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When I could not come to him, thank God he came to me. I was a leper. I couldn't come to the Lord Jesus. But I'm so glad he came to me. When I could not come to him, I was outside the camp. I was contaminated, had to declare unclean to a holy God. But I'm glad the Lord Jesus, my great high priest, he came to where I was at. He came in my rags. He came in my leper's condition. And he sought me out. When I was not able to come to him, he sought me out. And he touched me and he cleansed me by the power of his hand. Not only do I see, my friend, the priest coming to the leper, but they went through a little ritual. They took two birds, two living birds, and then they took an earthen vessel, and they took one of those birds and they killed that bird in an earthen vessel, shed its blood in an earthen vessel. That's not the place for a bird. That's not the environment for a bird. A bird's environment is in the heavens. That's where it belongs. It's out of its element to be in a clay jar, to be in an earthen vessel. Well, that tells me about the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, this world was not his home. He was out of his element. He was out of his environment. He left, my friend, the praises and the glory of heaven. He came to this low land of sorrow. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He became my kinsman. I want you to know, listen, he stepped over the angels and he came down and became a kinsman redeemer. Hey, listen, he didn't take on an angel form. No, sir, he became a man. Whenever God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he didn't send a Canaanite. He didn't send an Egyptian, but he sent a Moses. He sent a kinsman. And I bless his name tonight that there's one that became my kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down in this earthen vessel. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and he shed his precious blood, and he redeemed us not by corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless his name that he became flesh that he might die for us. Amen. Then they took that other bird and they dipped the blood of that dead bird on that living bird, identified with that dead bird. Went out to a field somewhere and let that bird loose in a field, and they watched that bird fly to heavens with the blood on it. Not only do I see the redemptive work of Christ, but I see his resurrected work. Hallelujah. He not only died, that's a good part of the gospel, but the Bible said he was buried and he rose again. And he went back to heaven, my friend, with the blood. The Bible said not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood. He entered into the heavens for us. Hallelujah. And then that priest, he took that hyssop and then he dipped it in that blood and he sprinkled it 7 times on that leper. Seven times. He sprinkled that leper and said, "Be thou clean. I pronounce you clean." I'll have you to know, friend, I'm glad for the shedding of blood. I'm glad without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But I'm glad tonight for the sprinkling. I'm glad for the application of the blood. It's not only the shed blood, but I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, for the application and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed 2,000 years ago, but in an April revival meeting in 1972, he sprinkled the blood upon me. Hey, listen, by faith I took the hyssop weed and God cleansed this old leper. Cleanse me. And the priest says, "I'm clean." Folks say you're not saved. You don't look saved. You may not even act saved. But you say, "How do you know you are saved?" Because a priest, hallelujah, has announced me clean. A Savior says, "I'm saved." Amen. Amen. Thank God. 7 days that leper had to go through more cleansing. You know, we better be a little careful sometimes who we allow in the fellowship of the church. They want to make sure he was cleansed. Old Brother Blackburn, boy, he'd make you wait before he'd baptize you. I never did understand that. But now I do. Huh? He wouldn't baptize them the same day. Bless God, he made sure they was clean. Amen. Them old preachers believe that, brother. You agree with it or not, they believe that. Bless God, kept some of the hell out of the church too. Amen. I want to tell you right now, listen to me. Listen to me tonight, friend. And then he had to take 3 more. He had to take a male lamb, another male lamb, and a ewe lamb before he was totally considered to be clean. The first of all was a trespass offering. That represents Calvary. Calvary took care of it all. Calvary took care of all my sins. My sins, not in part, but in whole, was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When I was lost, when I was a leper, I lost time. I was not able to serve him. And that trespass offering was a payment for all those years he was a leper. And he wasn't able to serve God as a leper. And Jesus took care of my sins. My sins past, present, and future. My sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was my trespass offering. And then there was that sin offering that tells Calvary takes care of what I am. Not only what I do, but Calvary takes care of what I am. Jesus not only died for me, but Jesus died as me. And then they took that meal offering. And that meal offering represents the perfections of Christ. I want to tell you, I serve a Savior without sin. You listen to me tonight, friend. Jesus could not sin. It's blasphemy tonight to say Jesus could sin. You say, why was he tempted? He was tempted to prove that he could not sin. Whenever they make a bridge, they test that bridge after they make it to prove that it can't fall, not that it can fall. And Jesus was tempted to prove that he was the Son of God, my friend. He was the flawless Son of God. You'll find no fault in him. You'll find no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that meal offering, friend. And then there was, bless God, that burnt offering. That means, listen to me, that means that leper was totally dedicated to God. They'd take that blood of those animals and they'd put it on his right ear and they'd put it on his big thumb and on his big toe, showing that he was totally cleansed by the blood, totally cleansed. Cleansed by the blood. I have you know, friend, I'm cleansed totally and completely by the blood. I'm saved so good, it's pitiful, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. And then they took that oil and they sprinkled him 7 times of that oil. I read over there in Leviticus chapter number 8, and that's the very same thing they did to the priest. The same thing they done to that leper. It's the same thing they done to the sons of Aaron. They put blood on his ear and blood on his thumb and blood on his toe, and then they put that oil. Listen, friend, and the the oil was always on the blood, and the blood was never on the oil. Whenever the blood has been applied, God can apply the Holy Ghost to God, friend. You listen to me tonight. That leper was treated just like a priest. He wasn't treated like a leper anymore, but he was treated like a priest. I'll have you to know tonight, friend, we're a priest of God. We're a priest of God tonight. The Bible said we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're somebody tonight. He don't treat us like lepers anymore. Some of you going around with a cloud of guilt on your life, but you hear me tonight, God treats you just like a priest. You have direct access to a holy God tonight, friend. A veil was rent. Praise God tonight. Thank God for God's mercy and His grace. Amen. Several years ago, San Francisco, and just that word brings cold chills now, doesn't it? Several years ago in San Francisco, they had a parliament of religions. Different preachers got up and told about their religion. One told about the Muslim. One told about Hare Krishna. And one taught about the Jewish faith. And there was a fellow there representing the Christian faith. And after listening to him talk, you could tell there was no sympathy in his heart for the Christian faith. And he made a blistering attack on the blood.